On this week's episode of Carolina Sports Talk, we've got some NFL scores. We've got a special guest online with us tonight, NCAA, and so much more. Let's go!
Another all-new episode of Carolina Sports Talk starts now.
Can y'all feel that? Can you feel that thing that's oozing out your doggone hands? That thing is beating your doggone chest right now. Can you feel that?
Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Carolina Sports Talk. It's your main man, Big Cliff. As always, thank you for tuning in on your favorite podcast app. Next time, tell your smart speaker, play Carolina Sports Talk. You can hit us up on the Carolina Sports Talk line, cliff@carolinasportstalk.net. Or to be a part of the show, you can also join us on the Facebook, Instagram page at Carolina Sports Talk or the Facebook group, Carolina Sports Talk Talks Back. Man, if week one was good, I got to think NFL week two was something like greatness, man. But to discuss that and so much more, welcome in my main man and yours, DJ High Star, rocking with your boy.
Yeah.
What's good with it, Q?
Good.
How you, man?
Chilling, man, chilling. What's going on, Carolina Sports Talk Nation?
We out here, man. You had a good weekend, man? Had a good week since we last recorded?
Yeah, I mean, all things aside, as far as what went on in New Jersey, went 2-1 fantasy, so it's pretty decent. And yeah, outside of that, I mean, pretty good weekend. It was just chilling.
Man, my fantasy was chilling with the Wilson brothers, and it wasn't even a good one, man. We out here 0-1 style, man. 0-4 out here, man. So I'll go ahead and drop one for myself because I definitely caught several consecutive L's, one right after the other. I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. But before that, we got to welcome in my dog, Eric, is back with us, a Panther aficionado. Eric, what's good with it, man? How you been?
Been all right. About as good as I could be, I guess. Spent some time in the hospital last week, but I'm good.
Yeah, well, glad to see you back out and doing good and stuff, man. Now, Eric, before we get started, before I get into my fantasy and how I got let down literally in the fourth quarter of the last game of the week, bro, I saw something on your Facebook page, man, that we got to ask some questions about. Man, are you a bull rider?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Man, listen, that's a tough old...
Talking about in the bars, right? With the chicken.
No, we're talking about like a rodeo. Nah, full out 800-pound big old monster animal bull rider, bro. First of all, how did you get into bull riding?
So I've been going to rodeos since I was really little and stuff, and a few of my friends have do it and stuff, and then, you know, I kind of just got involved with it by association, so I just started riding myself.
Okay, how long have you been doing it?
I've done it off and on my whole life. Just about, I started when I was really little riding sheep and stuff, but, okay. I got out of it for a little bit and then just recently picked it back up a few months ago. So
word now, I know pictures, they say pictures are worth 1,000 words, but bro, your pictures, they look the look, man. It's not like some guy who, oh man, that dude definitely doesn't need to be you look like a bull rider. Like we talked about it a little bit before the show started, but Talk to the folks and let those who may not know what all it goes into being a bull rider, man. What kind of athleticism is required? What kind of mental acuity? What all kind of goes into to being a good and then attaining to become great bull rider?
Well, there's a lot more that goes into it than people think. Honestly, obviously, you're trying to ride this thing for 8 seconds, and that's the longest 8 seconds of your life. It's a lot of mental preparation, but also at the same time, you can't think about it too much because then you psych yourself out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got to be physically strong enough to hold on. It's in your legs, it's in your arms, it's in everything, because if you sit on your butt, you're going to mess up. There's just a whole like technique of it. So really you're just gripping on with your legs and then you're holding on with your hand, and it's all about balance and keeping your weight in the right spot at the right time. And you, unless you've been on this bull before, or you know people that's been on this certain bull before, you don't know what it's going to do next. So it's, I told you before the show, it's like a chess match, because you got to figure out what your opponent's next move is going to be and try to set yourself up correctly for that, to counter it. So, I mean, it's a lot. And also, it is dangerous. It's a very dangerous sport. But everybody that rides, we all know what we sign up for at the beginning of the day. So when I ride personally, I step up next to the chute and I'm getting ready to get on. I bend down, I say a little prayer, and I hope for the best. I don't pray for victory or glory. I just hope to make it out okay at the end. And then when I climb down in that chute, it's a business trip, one-on-one.
I love it.
I got one question for you. What are the groupies like? Are there groupies in bull riding? Because
something like
a near-death experience, you got to have some nice young ladies hanging out on the side of the rodeo ready to, you know what I mean?
You try not to pay those too much attention.
Gotcha.
But they're there. Say them all. Now, you talked about the injury and how literally it could be life threatening and things of that nature. What's some of the war wounds? I saw the one that's on your arm, but what's like the worst injury you've had so far in bull riding?
Broken rib.
That's enough of me. That alone would be enough for me to say, yeah, I'm good on that. Every injury I've had in football and basketball, even track, I broke my foot. And I just was like, yeah. But bull riding, it wouldn't take but once. That would be it, man. But, dog, shout out to this guy. Hey, if you ever need to see Carolina Sports Talk in a bar fight, I'm telling you now, Eric Tine is a first-round draft pick for my squad. That's all I'm saying.
It's really not that bad, honestly. You got so much adrenaline pumping through your body. If you do break something, you don't realize until afterwards.
Watch this. DJ Highstar, would you be a bull rider?
Nah,
exactly.
You prefaced it with watch this, like Usher. It ain't nothing to watch this, bro.
Watch this.
But now the amount of times I've said hold my beer is right. It's great.
I don't even like roller coasters, so nah, I'm not.
Now, with that regard, I'm not gonna hold you. Like I'm not doing a roller coaster. I think me and you talked about it this weekend watching some football, bro. My motion sickness is just way too terrible to even talk about trying to get on a ride. But that
right being now, my biggest thrill seeking is having the police drop behind me. So
where's the
outside of that? Listen, that's the hugest thrill for me.
Listen, and that's not even the thrill. That's more like
I'd be like, woo, let's go.
For that reason, that's why I don't go see horror movies. I deal with enough terror. But on the high note of talking about a thrill, man, this week was a thrill. What you guys say we talk about some scores, man?
Sure.
Week 2 in the NFL. If y'all only knew what was going on behind the scenes with this editing thing, man, it's serious. But week 2 started off Thursday night with the Chiefs taking care of business against the Chargers 27-24. Patriots over the Steelers 17-14 on Sunday. The Carolina Panthers fell to the New York Giants, and you know we're going to get into that, 19-16 in New York or New Jersey. The Jets taking care of the Browns 31-30. Jaguars blanking the Colts 24-0. The Dolphins 42-38 in an amazing comeback over the Ravens. Ravens, not to be confused with the Ravens. The Buccaneers over the Saints 20-10. The Commanders fall to the Lions 36-27. 49ers over the Seahawks 27-7. The Falcons fall to the Rams 31-27. Cardinals over the Raiders 29-23. The Broncos over the Texans 16-9 in a defensive slugfest. Cowboys take care of business with the Dakless Cowboys 20-17 over the Bengals. Packers over the Bears 27-10. The Bills, your Super Bowl champion Bills, over the Titans 41-7 in one of the first of the two Monday Night Football games. And the Eagles over the Vikings 24-7. Shout out to DJ Blaze, radio show podcast host, my guy, Be Easy. My music wasn't loud this week, bro. For you, shout out. Fellas, which one of the games kind of stood out to y'all this week? Man, I know we're going to get deep into the Panthers game in just a moment, but which one of the other exciting games this week kind of stood out to you?
Mine's personally was the ones kind of indicative of great performances on my fantasy team. So that Miami game, and I'm being serious, but that's the, cause like, so the Miami game, I've got Tyreek Hill on two of my squads and Jalen Waddle on one of them, but both scored 40 points. Mm. And then defensively, I had Philadelphia starting this week. Mm. I think they might have did like a light 13 or 14, which is cool for defense and special teams. But then I had Tampa Bay's defense starting this week as well, which hung up 25 for me. And then the Bills defense, which gave me 20 points. So it, so all the, yeah, those games were like that for me. A lot of big plays this weekend, a lot of teams getting into form and stuff like that. And then, oh, like, inversely, one of the games that impacted me negatively fantasy-wise, Jonathan Taylor getting only 7 points as the Colts got shut out by the Jaguars. So that was definitely a surprise, or it stood out to me.
I'm not sure what's going on out there in Indy, but they look like a shell of themselves. And now my understanding is Darius Leonard is hurt, and I get that, and he's an integral part of your defense. And even the offense needs time to, like, gel, but they look like a completely different team. Similarly, so do the Titans, but we'll get into that in a second. Eric, what, any of the games kind of stood out to you other than the Panthers one this week?
Well, I didn't really watch any of the other games, but I did look at highlights for a few games, and I noticed quite a few comebacks this week. Mm-hmm. My favorite, though, was how about slow Joe Flacco and the New York Jets coming back against the Browns. And like Juju said, the Browns will be the Browns, and I think they got exposed. Everybody was overhyping them after they got lucky last week. But, yeah, they got cute. And the Jets ruined their little party. And also, once a rival, always a rival. I don't feel bad for Matt Ryan. I just want to throw that out there.
Absolutely not. Not, but you're absolutely correct. Matt Flacco is number 4 in passing so far in this young season. Now, will that remain to be the case? Highly unlikely, but shout out to the Jets. Another team that kind of, for me, that stood out was the Lions. For the first time in, I think we said last week, 28 weeks, they were favored to win over the Commanders, and they held up. Last time that they were favorites and won a game, you got to go all the way back to the year 2012. But shout out to the Detroit Lions for taking care of business against the Commanders. One of the other games that stood out to me, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in Big Deal No Thing, but the Bucks and Saints game, aside from the brawl, it's always a benefit to see the level that some of the other players and other teams, rather, in the division are kind of executing on. But I was definitely a fan of that Bills-Titans game first of the two Monday Night Football games. The Bills look like a squad, y'all. They're built the right way. They've got all three aspects and facets of the ball really clicking. The offense, the defense, the special teams, the punters, like coaches, even though their coaches came from Carolina. Excuse me. Their GM came from Carolina. The scheme is Carolina. But nonetheless, all of that being said, they're executing in the right way, and they're looking like a team that's hungry. Their quarterback looks like a quarterback who wants to win an MVP this season. And they're hungry now. It's a long season. They're two games into 17. So a lot to be seen. But through 2 weeks, they look like a team that's primed to go all the way. And I won't say no undefeated, but if they lose more than four games this year, it'd be a shock to me. Now, what are your thoughts? And I just kind of pass it, starting with you, DJ Highstar. What are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts? Is what we've seen so far from him out in Eagles country, is that a fluke, or is it something that you think he'll be able to sustain with over 300 yards passing? I think he had another 100 combined, if I'm not mistaken, with rushing, but he scored a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown each week. Is his performance sustainable moving through the rest of the season?
Yeah, I believe so. He's definitely got the defense to back him up, where he could have confidence in his defense to keep to keep the offense off the field. And then when they get on the field, he's got the weapons and everything in his arsenal that he needs as far as skill players to be able to continue to deliver. And now with their running game being where it's at, he presents that tertiary threat for them on the running side of things. So yeah, I definitely think it's not a situation where their offense is predicated on like him primarily running. So it's like, I'm a key in on him and just like, okay, on the bootleg, I know he's keeping it. So I'm going to, it's a very good chance that he's going to hand the ball off or whatnot, or get the ball out of his hands. Just looks more confident than he did last year.
Definitely. What do you think, Eric?
Well, I was kind of standing alone a couple years ago. I've always been on a Jalen Hurts train. Okay. And I'm actually glad to see him actually producing now. And I think, like Highstar said, that he's got a good defense behind him. And I personally think that they're just letting Jalen Hurts be Jalen Hurts for the first time in his career. And I think it's starting to show. So as long as they keep doing what they're doing and just letting him do his thing, I think he'll be perfectly fine. You know, last year was his first, I think, if I remember correctly, his first year actually starting as a full-time starter for the Eagles. So you saw some of the mistakes that young quarterbacks carry with them. And so now that he's got a year under his belt as a full-time starter, he's dealt with certain things, adversity and everything else. I think we're going to see a better version of Jalen Hurts moving forward.
Shout out to Jalen Hurts. I think I might as well go ahead and make it 3-for-3. The young man has had a bad rap. He's got the stereotypes that most black quarterbacks have. Oh, he's only an athlete. I've never been convinced that he's going to be like this amazing pocket passer. But with the growth and maturity that he's displayed so far this season, he's much better of a pocket passer than I expected and anticipated that he would be. And so I'm going to agree with both you guys and think that it might be sustainable. Now, going from one former Alabama quarterback to another, 36 of 50 for 469 yards with 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Mr. Tua Tagovailoa himself, Mr. Comeback Kid, ties a Miami Dolphins record with 6 touchdowns on Bob Greasy. And the other, of course, the GOAT. Well, I say the GOAT. I'm not. Dan Marino's still the GOAT. One of the GOATs, yeah. But I'm going to still say it like now. The GOAT to never have a championship. Let's call it that. How about that? To never get a Super Bowl ring.
He's picture not, that.
We're not going to get into that. Because name one quarterback better than Dan Marino who doesn't have a ring.
Any right-handed one. But, like, let's. They said, I like something that they put in the headlines, and I guess it was the perfect time to put it there, but they were like Tua and O.
Uh-huh. Tua and O. I like, you know what?
They got that off.
Yeah, they did. It's very much so. Almost like your boy Diggs with the Genuine shout out. But nah, I like that one. But no, he came back furiously in the fourth quarter.
Well, you just said it. That came back part, because I was facing Tua in a fantasy league. And I was comfortable the whole time, like, okay, he's doing decent. All right, a little 20, 30 points. And the game just wouldn't end. And, like, again, like I said, I have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek really got off to a late start as well in that game. So when he started kind of cooking, I'm seeing Jalen, like, I'm getting the alerts or whatever like that, that Jalen Waddle scored. Tyreek scored, Jalen Watson. I'm like thinking to myself, well, somebody's got to be throwing to them. And I'm actually playing a guy that's throwing to them. And so, it looks gargantuan and like a Herculean effort on paper. And it definitely was, as far as in the sense of everything in totality. But it started off looking very, very civilian, like very regular. So I think, personally, that Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill might have had a conversation on the sidelines like, nah, we ain't letting these boys win. You know what I'm saying? And get us the ball and we'll do the rest type deal or something like that.
Now, and here, the reason that it looked, I guess, pedestrian, on the other side of the ball, you had Lamar Jackson, who went 21 for 29, 318 yards, also threw for 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, but he also rushed 9 times for 119 with a touchdown. So
I was going to say, it had the longest run of his career.
75 yards. Yes, sir. And so along that lines, the score was 28-7 at the half. And it was like, yo, this is a wrap. My guy is fitting to, like, be dumb out on it. And then all of a sudden, third quarter comes. Okay, reasonable game. It's looking like they're going to cruise into the fourth. And in the fourth quarter, like you said, the two of them just went to themselves and were like, hey, let's get it done. And they scored 28 points to come back and win that game, man. It was a good game because I'm an offensive guy. I love to see this points, man. But what are your thoughts with regards to, and this is really a left hand that is coming off the top of my head right now, the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the league? Because as I'm looking at the Dolphins, and with either, you could look at Tua and, like you said, Tyreek, or Tua and Jalen. Who would you guys, if you had to start a franchise right now, what quarterback, and because, again, quarterbacks can be better, wide receivers can be better. Who you taking as a quarterback wide receiver duo to start a team?
Derek, you want to? You want to put one out there? Are you pondering?
And just while you guys are thinking about it, some of the, like I said, you got Tua, and you can go Tua, Tyreek. You can go Tua, Jalen.
I got mine already, bro.
Go ahead.
Oh, Josh Allen and Diggs. Easily. I mean, from last Thursday's game and the confidence that they stepped on the field with, and somebody had put it out there. It was on like a little meme, but it was like, I knew the game was over when I saw them dap up. They like did their special dap, and they wasn't even like making eye contact or looking at each other, but they did their little special dap that they have or whatever like that. And both of them got swag and tough, and they tough as nails. But that's my choice right there.
There's a lot of good choices. Go ahead, Eric.
I really hate that I'm about to say this, but Tom Brady, Mike Evans.
I like that one.
I can't stand that I had to say that, but it's true.
So nobody went Jamar Chase and Burrows. Nobody said Jalen and AJ. You guys both just was singing Jalen's praises. What about Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp? Which is where, honestly, I think I would settle in. Because even in the midst of them playing bad football so far this season, you take away Matt Stafford's numbers to Cooper Kupp in that week one loss to Buffalo, and that was a non-existent offense. He accounted for nearly 60% of the passing yards. Cooper Kupp going to get his, regardless. And Matt Stafford, to him, is something like the truth, man.
I feel you, but I said what I said.
I think that whole Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford thing is all receiver. No disrespect to Matt Stafford. He's a good quarterback and all, but he's had Marvin Jones at his best and Kenny Golladay at his best. Cooper Kupp was putting up not nearly as great, but he was around the same ballpark when he had Jared Goff. Cooper Kupp's Cooper Kupp. That's all receiver.
Can't sleep on the Justin Herbert connections out there as well.
I was just getting ready to touch it because he's got two, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Keenan may be a little less.
They also got people in the backfield. They got people in the backfield too. So yeah. He's feeding it around. I don't think that's the only reason I didn't go with that one, honestly, is Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen. I don't think he feeds Keenan Allen enough.
I agree, especially since I got him on my bench in fantasy. But I honestly, at this point in their careers, I'm taking Justin over even Tom Brady. Cause I like the kid. I think he's got an arm. He's got that heart, like that dog in him that I don't think he's afraid to make the passes. He needs to really be given a little bit more free leeway with regards to taking ownership of that offense. Kind of how similar to what Joe Burrow has out there in Cincinnati when he's not laying down from getting sacked and rushed and knocked down. But if they open it up and give him a little bit more free reign, I could easily see Justin Herbert being in that same type of realm as your Josh Allen's in the world. So I just, something popped in the top of my head thinking about the duos. I know there's a team that all of us are pretty familiar with and fond of that's got some really great potential wideouts. We just can't seem to find a quarterback that's going to allow them to elevate. And if you're not sure who we're talking about,
Memorial service started.
We are talking about the Carolina Panthers, who fell to the Giants in the Meadowlands by a score of 19-16.
The brother of Bret Hart.
Say it, man. Listen, I don't even know where to start, why to start, how to start, but we got to start. Fellas, reactions from the week 2 loss. And we'll start with you, Eric. We'll start with our guest this week.
What if I don't want to start? What if I'm
then we'll
wait?
Start with High Star. Go ahead. He said he wants to save his venom. Like, and it's literally so frustrating because the talent does not equate to what we see out there on the field. It's like,
see, and that's where I want to start it.
Right? Okay, start right there. Let's get it. Let's just jump into it.
I want to level with you. I want to level with you. Eric, you're a great guy. I learned that you bull ride this week. So I'm not really pointing and directing all of this at you, brother. But
I'm big as a bull, so what does that count for?
Still, look, brother. We got to stop throwing the optimistic sandwich on things, all right? And take a little dose of reality after a while. We're mediocre at best right now, mm-hmm. All right? Again, we got DJ Moore. We got Christian McCaffrey. Awesome. We got potential on the defense. Great. But what? Again, we've got awesome, again, athletes and talent on the defensive side. Shout out to Brian Burns. But we need somebody to drive this 18-wheeler, man. And if you can't see over the steering wheel, then it's going to be tough to make some right turns and left turns. So, you know, if we revisit, again, when we picked up Baker, there was no chance. So Russell Wilson was already out of the picture, of course. Deshaun Watson was out of the picture. There is literally no game-changing locker room leaders that we had available to pick up. So Baker may have seemed more glitz and glamorous than he really is. It's, you know, again, the situation is what it is. Again, as a team and as an organization, we are scaring nobody right now in the league.
Disagree, but go ahead.
No one's scared of the Panthers right now.
The Giants literally talked about it this week on how they were unable to recreate the speed that our defense presents. But go ahead. I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah,
I'm going to mute myself and let you finish.
I think maybe 30th in passing. Yo, matter of fact, I sent you that sound effect earlier in hopes that you would put it on the soundboard because I thought that I would need it. But I've calmed down plenty since the loss. But I mean, keep it real. We've got potential and stuff, and we can fight and scrap to I wouldn't even say a respectable record, to a record that's close to 500. However, we're not doing what you forecasted us to do. We're not going to do what you forecasted us to do.
Oh, absolutely not. That's out the window. But Eric, I'll get your thoughts and then I'll respond accordingly.
Okay. Well, I may take a second.
No, do your thing.
I respect it, man. I respect it.
So, first
we
off,
we sound like three disappointed parents right now.
Well, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Well, first off, I would like to say everybody's overreacting. Everybody just needs to calm down, take a chill pill. Mm. Be real. We're in week two. There's 17 games. There's 15 games left to be played. And we're in week two, and we've lost by a total of 5 points or so, 5-6 points in the first 2 weeks. So what? We lost two games. Big deal. Now, am I saying we're going to turn this thing around? We're going to go on a run, go win a Super Bowl or make the playoffs, whatever? No, I'm not saying none of that. But I think everybody's just overreacting. Everybody's been on this fire Matt Rule chant since week one of year one.
Yeah.
Nobody has liked anything they've seen from Matt Rule in his entire Panther career. And everybody keeps riding that wave. And quite frankly, it's annoying. because last week or this week, I should say, I don't put that at all on Matt Rule. Because one thing that I noticed that he did for the first time as the Panthers head coach is make good use of our timeouts. We had a timeout left to use. And it came down to, I believe it was Matt Ioannidis making a tackle on Daniel Jones. You tackle Daniel Jones, we get the ball back with the timeout. Guess what? He got juked out of shoes, and Daniel Jones picked up a first down. That's not Matt Rule's fault. Now, can you somehow find a way to nitpick and find your way back to Matt Rule and say that he put us in that position? Probably. And that's what Panther fans have done all week, is find a way to blame Matt Rule for this. People blame the play calling, which is on Ben McAdoo, but people say, oh, it's Matt Rule's fault that Ben McAdoo's in the building. they want to blame the defense. That's Matt Rule's fault for bringing Phil Snow. Everybody just needs to calm down and look at what's happening. Everybody's like, oh, we lost two games. This isn't progress. These are the two most competitive games we've played in 2 years. And everybody wants to tell – everybody was telling me I was trolling the other day because I was like, no, we don't need to fire Matt Rule. And I want to put it like this. Yeah, great idea. Let's fire our head coach in the third week of the season. Bring in a new guy. Have to learn a whole new system. Unless you want to hire Ben McAdoo as a head coach and look where that got the Giants.
No.
So chances are likely that either Ben McAdoo or Steve Wilks gets hired as an interim head coach for the rest of the season. We won't be able to interview anybody for a job until 2 weeks after the season's over anyway. So somebody in the building is going to get the job for the rest of the season. And if Ben McAdoo's head coaching tactics looks anything like his offensive play calling these first 2 weeks, I don't want it. I would rather just ride out Matt Rule, to be real. But you really want to bring in another new guy, prolong our rebuild for another year at least, and force all of our players to learn a whole new system again? That's just dumb, in my opinion. I think we're better off just riding this out, seeing where these close losses go. And see what happens. I would rather keep Matt Rule. And I don't know. It comes down to execution, not play calling, not head coaching. We should have made the tackle. It's that simple.
Boom. Mic drop. So, to begin, starting off, Highstar, you made some points. I am and have traditionally been an optimist when it comes to the Carolina Panthers. It's probably because I am who I am, period. But I see the potential, and I see, like you mentioned, the what we can be on the field. I see the speed that we have on defense. I see the versatility. And there have been arguments recently made that the Carolina Panthers defense was perfect to stop any college team out there with the speed and the versatility and the scheme ability and everything of Phil Snow, that they look like a college defense. So we've heard that. But And I've been wanting to say it, actually. But I also feel like if coached and put in the right positions, that they can be a top three unit. The expectations were there. I wasn't the only one. I didn't just pull it out and say, yo, man, I went to practice this autumn and they look good. And nobody else was agreeing. There were the Giants said so this week. After week one, even in a loss, there were reports that they could very well be a top five defense this year. And who knows? They still might be. Where my tune has begun to change and where I contradict and come into contrast with what Eric has said, 8 straight losses is where we are now currently as the Carolina Panthers, dating back to last season. When Matt Rule came, I was a fan of his. I watched him at Baylor and then went back and saw what he had done before at Temple. And so I saw who he was as a coach. His whole inspirational church speech thing that he gave when I was like, okay, let me get a guy a chance. And when week one came, then week two, and then halfway through the season, and then the end of the first season, and there were absolutely Carolina Panthers fans who were saying, nah, he's not a good fit. Get him out of here. And I defended him through the second season when we dealt with injuries, again, starting a season off 3-0, and then having our two best players at that point, one on the offense, one on the defense side, to go down. I still said, nah, and with a healthy squad, Matt Rule can get it done. We got to give him a chance. Even when we traded for Baker Mayfield, I wasn't a fan of the trade, but I was ready to go in with Sam Darnold and still expect these Carolina Panthers to win because of the potential that was there with the skill positions that we had on the offensive side, the upgrades, and I'm doing that with air quotes at this point, that were made to the offensive line, and then that defense, which has the potential to be a top five unit. When we lost Ron Rivera a couple of seasons ago, it was the understanding and the belief that, hey, Ron is a great coach, but sometimes you just need fresh blood. It hurt, but I understood what they were trying to do, and I was optimistic again and hopeful for what could happen. At this point, that hope is gone. At this point, the realization is that despite the talent that we have, despite the dog that plays in a lot of these players out there, there is something missing. Now, it's either the coach or the owner. something has to change. The players who we have are who we have. There's no way to do, like in basketball, you can buy the trade deadline, almost completely overhaul a team and have a brand new team, and by the end of the season, get some continuity going and make a run. In football, it's a little bit different with salary caps and all that. It's a little different. So the team that we have is what we have. As a Panther fan, I'm sick of being let down. I'm sick of having the hope, having the optimism, believing in what they're selling, buying into the team, and consistently being let down. I'm sick of mediocrity, and we're not even at mediocrity at this point. We have to work hard to get to mediocrity with what has been displayed so far. The two games this season, the six of the last, and honestly, throughout the Matt Rhule tenure. I'm over it. I like Matt Rhule as a dude. I don't think he's the best fit for the Carolina Panthers as a coach. Now, you talked about Eric, and I'll pass it to you guys in a second for some rebuttals. But you talked about if we switch away from Matt Rhule right now, who do we go to? Phil Snow absolutely could have an opportunity to do it. Shoot, if they wanted to get one of the offensive ball boys to go, hey, so what kind of interesting plays you got? At this point, I don't even care. Now, after the season is a different story. Eric Bieniemy needs to be a head coach in the National Football League. I would love to see him in the Carolina Panthers blue. That's my personal opinion. But as far as for where we are now, now would be the time to do it so that we have that time to allow whomever comes to begin to implement their system, even if it's not so much a full overhaul, if it's just tweaks, to be able to make that difference so that that energy can be injected into this team and they can start performing. Because, again, I'm at that point where I'm over this losing, bro. Like if my mama was losing, she's not. Shout out to Dr. Smith. But, like, if my mom's was a loser, it'd be like, yo, moms, I appreciate it, but I'm going to need to go ahead and figure something else different. I'm over it at this point, bro. Y'all's face is looking like y'all ready. Go ahead. What? Yeah. High star.
First of all, get the Russell Westbrook soundbite ready, because did you say that our defense is good enough to beat a college team?
No, I said they're primed to beat any college team. The scheme.
We need to be primed to beat any NFL team right now, okay?
Which is
I understand what you're saying. I know what you mean, and we are quick and fast and all of that
bro,
stuff.
What are you talking about?
But one thing that I liked Eric brought up is, again, we are two games into the season. That first Cleveland being at the stadium, that first Cleveland loss for Cleveland felt like they won a playoff game. The way that they celebrated in the stands and the way that the team celebrated on the field, like they, you know, whatever. But I think that one way for us to climb back is to have a positive division record or whatnot. If we go over 500 in the division, I think that speaks volumes and stuff like that. Granted, it would be tough to do, but it's doable. I think with turnover machine down there in New Orleans that they got, and then the lack of identity that Atlanta has, and really what Tampa Bay shows from week to week, they're great, but it's going to be some, you know, we've got to expect the fall at some point in time.
And they're hurt, so, too. They literally just signed Cole Beasley because their top three receivers are out.
They can't stay healthy with the people that they bring on to the squad. So it is a possibility for us to do something in the division, and we haven't played any division games, whereas teams like the Chargers have already played the Raiders and then played who they play in the first week or whatnot, but they've already got two division games under their belt,
right,
and have to take their 1-1 record as the Chiefs. They play the Chiefs rather and whoever they played in the first week. But they've got to take that record into the season. So I do agree with you, Eric, where it's a longer season, it's a long season. And it's plenty of time to try to do something and turn this thing around. But again, like I said, with Baby Baker behind the center, I just hope that, I don't know, you also made a great point of the play calling. A lot of people make that association and think that, oh, well, fire Matt Rhule, the play calling is horrible. And it's like, no, like, do you know how our team is structured, and do you know who's really, you know, running things or whatever like that? As far as the offense and the defense.
Hi, sir. Let me pause you for 1 second. Yeah. At what point does that become the head coach's responsibility? Because he brought in Joe Brady, who came from literally coaching the greatest college offense in history, to then now giving Ben McAdoo an opportunity, who is supposed to be an offensive-minded coach, and it looks like much of the same. So at what point, because At what point does it change? We've got athletes on the field. Christian McCaffrey is one of the most versatile running backs
and one of the most feared
in football. And so, like, what needs to change if not the head coach? And I praise that to both of you guys.
I'm gonna throw it to Eric in a second, but I always like feel like whenever I see it's like an eye test for me when I see a quarterback get the ball from under center or out of the shotgun, whether they're doing a 3-step drop or a 5-step drop, they either know where that ball is going and is confident, or they end up holding it too long. Like, and we've held it too long all season or whatever like that. It seems like whether it's the play calling and what's being called, that Baker doesn't have the opportunity perhaps to go through progressions and get the ball out quick enough. Or again, maybe that's on Baker for really holding it and thinking that he can create outside of what is being called. But, you know, I don't know.
Eric, what do you say? If not the play calling, if it doesn't fall back to the head coach with multiple offensive coordinators and still seeming to be no difference, what needs to change in order for the Carolina Panthers to be successful? We're giving you the GM hat.
Well, there's two options, really. You either shouldn't have hired Ben McAdoo in the first place, because I was already on the fence about it personally. I mean, everybody saw what he did in New York. I mean, come on. He didn't have the best resume coming in already. I mean, part of me was excited about it because it was something different, and he's done it before. Mm-hmm. He's done it at the NFL level. He wasn't like Joe Brady, who came in with zero. Well, I don't want to say zero because I think I might be wrong, but Joe Brady was a college coordinator. He wasn't calling plays at the NFL level. Ben McAdoo was. So that part got me a little bit settled, I guess you could say, for lack of better terms. But everybody knew what we were getting in Ben McAdoo. I don't know who thought that was a great idea. We either just shouldn't have hired him in the first place and went somewhere else, or you risk it for the biscuit and let Matt Rhule call the plays like Ron Rivera did. You never know. I mean, it could be absolutely terrible, which would be my personal expectation if Matt Rhule was calling the plays. Mm-hmm. Or it could be great and our offense could start clicking, but who knows? You just never know. And I would like to throw out that we had a number two defense in the NFL in 2021. A lot of people forget about that. And just a fun fact, only defense to not allow a touchdown on the opening drive of a game all season.
And what was our record? Right. That's my only thing, man. But see, that's in the early days of Cam, we at least had hope that there was going to be. And I can't even say that because now I feel like I'm reverting. I'm staying packed with hope isn't enough. Making it to Super Bowl 50 was an awesome feeling. Losing it hurt. That one honestly hurt more than the Patriots.
I cried. Listen, with a towel in my mouth.
Like, losing a Super Bowl period hurts, but like at some point win something, bro. The last 4 years have just been like trash. And I'm like completely over it, man. Like I literally at this point, I'm off the rails. Like, I don't even know what they can do. I was sharing with Eric right before we got on. I'm at a point where I was like, yo, what does it even look like for me to be a fan of another team? And that's wild for me to consider that. Like I'll root for the Bills because, you know, they're the Panthers North. Or I like the Ravens because, you know, they, for a long time, their whole team was built similar to how we were. But to say, oh, I'm a fan of some other team, I can't fix my mouth to say that. But I'm also at a point where I'm not about to be rooting for the Panthers no more. Like I'm ready to not be disappointed anymore. I'd rather just not watch football than to keep getting hurt over and over, man. I'm over it. Go ahead.
I was where you are now a couple years ago, right before we signed Teddy Bridgewater. After Cam had done falling off and was constantly hurt and everything else, you know, date back to, I think it was 2018, we started 6-2. Cam was looking like an MVP, best completion percentage of his entire career. Looked real great. and I built expectations and we lost out. Or sorry, won in week 17 with Josh Allen as our, or not Josh Allen.
With the other Allen. I know exactly
who you're talking about. Kyle Allen. Allen. I don't know. You were talking about the Bills. Confused me. Look at you. That's your fault. then after that 6-2 start, and when the next season started, there were expectations because Cam came back supposedly healthy and we were supposed to be real good again. And then we weren't because he got hurt in week two. But then Kyle Allen came in again. Ooh, looking Kyle great. Allen,
yep.
Looking great. We got to 5-3, got smacked around on National Tight Ends Day by the 49ers, who were undefeated at the time. Mm-hmm. And after that, going into the next season, we signed Teddy Bridgewater, and I had zero expectations. Nothing hurt me. Nothing got me excited. When we were winning games, I was like, cool, that's great. What are we going to do next?
Lose.
When is it going to fall apart? I had zero expectations. And I don't know. It felt great to not have to worry about something, just turning on the TV, watching my team play. And then coming into this year, I expected to be around 8-9 at the worst. And if you go back to 2014, we looked terrible. We looked god awful. 7-8-1, we made the playoffs and won the division.
Yeah.
You never know what can happen. Like we've already talked about, it's a long season. You never know. The Saints, they got crab legs at quarterback.
Crab legs. So what it sounds like I'm hearing it from you guys is just not to expect anything. Don't have any hopes for the team. Just kind of sit back and watch. Just watch. Just watch. And just see what they got to do at that point. Just
watch this. Watch this.
Just expect the worst.
Remix.
Just expect the worst.
Nah. Yeah, exactly. I agree with Eric. You know how I've been rocking in. I've been a Knicks fan for a long time, so I know how to do this thing. You know what I'm saying? I've been an expert at doing this thing for a while now. I can't allow it to hurt my work week and my productivity at work or anything else related to if it's a DJ gig and you know what I mean? And we're at a wedding or a birthday party and I'm playing some sad music because the Panthers keep losing. Nah, I can't do that. And like I said, again, just like week one, we fought hard once we woke up. With the Giants, I think we actually competed better than I expected us to out there and being on the road and stuff like that. So it's going to be some fighting. And I think, those conference games, those division games are going to mean a whole lot to us more than some other teams around the league. So when Sam Darnold comes back from IR, do you guys see him being put in the lineup if things continue to trend the way that they are, or are they going to stick with Baker throughout the whole year?
I hope not.
sorry. No.
No need to apologize. I wanted to. I was picking you guys' brain.
Two things real fast. We went to MetLife Stadium filled with Giants fans who all of a sudden feel like the Giants are relevant again. Okay. That place was filled to literally the top row of seats. And we took the Giants down to a missed tackle. In week one, we got screwed. And they won.
Agreed.
Off of a 60-yard field goal from a kicker that everybody thought was great who missed an extra point in week two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would go out on a limb and call them flukes. Baker Mayfield is not playing terrible. He's not playing great by any means. He's not going to win the MVP. But he's not playing terrible. I mean, he dropped a few snaps, but how many of those did we lose?
And also, how much motivation did Graham Gano really have to go ahead and put that thing away against us?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Absolutely.
He knocked out like a 56-yarder or something like that that he hit as well. So it's like, how many times does that happen to a team?
Well, apparently 2 years ago it happened to us, to them against us, with him at the position when he hit
that 63. Well, I mean, 2 weeks in a row as far as like
– Oh, with the quarter. Yeah,
first week with a long field goal game winning and the second week.
So Baker's not playing bad. He's not playing great. He is who he is. And at this point, the batted passes, I'm over it. Because it's literally like the playbook. Week one, we defended it by saying – Oh, well, Cleveland knows him. At this point, the league knows him. So it is what it is. I'm done. The remainder of the season, if we win the rest of the way out, I'm not going to like, I told y'all, I'm going to just let it be what it is. And at this point, I'm going to keep rocking with my dogs. Cause it's like the little meme where it's the angry man on the bench and then he's got the Panther next to him and he's got the umbrella over it. It's like, even though I'm mad with you. Yeah,
I have a question.
All over again. Go ahead.
I have a question. Something that I was thinking about while watching the Giants game. And I'm kind of going against myself by saying it's only week two and then it's a long season or whatever. And some people may not like what I'm about to ask, but is Ike Ekwonu a bust?
He trending like it. And I was high on Ike.
There has been zero
optimistic Oscar. We know.
There has been zero protection on the left side for the first 2 weeks.
Ike has the grit, the tenacity, and the physicality to be one of the best offensive linemen in the game. That's not me being optimistic. That's me stating a fact. He was regarded as by many draft experts as the best offensive lineman in the draft.
I was high on him.
I made a whole graphic for Guy.
That's what I'm saying. That's where optimistic Oscar comes in at.
I'm celebrating what's exactly supposed to be the best. Supposed to be the best. Yo, they have had him on skates, and he's got to catch up to the speed of the game. But that is the part where I say coaching matters for us to have the potential and it not be realized. Even Baker Mayfield can be better than 14 for 29, 145 and a touchdown. At least he didn't throw a pick. I'll give him that. But 145 yards in an NFL game is not going to win many football games, y'all. Not in the league that we're in now. And if that was the case and we had 400 yards of rushing, cool. Christian McCaffrey had 102, and one of those was like a big burst through. Baker was our second leading rusher with 35 yards. That's coaching, y'all. But it is what it is. Man, before we let you get out of here, Eric, anything you want to holler at the people and tell them, or anything they should kind of check you out for, some bull riding someplace or anything?
I'm cool, man. But just to all the Panther fans, just calm down. Just ride the wave. See what happens. Chill with the Matt Rhule comments. And no, I'm not trolling when I say don't fire Matt Rhule. Trust me, I get it. I was part of the whole fire Matt Rhule. I don't even know what to call it. When Sam Darnold was getting booed, I was at that game. I was part of the people booing Sam Darnold and fire Matt Rhule. I thought it was hilarious. I was in the stands and I heard some people or some dude a few rows in front of me. We had the ball 1 second left on the goal line and we were down. We had got blown out. No, it was against Tampa Bay. Sorry, not Atlanta. We had gotten blown out. The game was already over. And the dude a few rows in front of me when we had the ball, clock stopped 1 second, was like, calm down. Game's not over yet. I thought that was hilarious. But just chill. Just ride the wave. See what happens. If it's not working at the end of the year, let's get Brian Flores up in the building. See what he can do. Because to be honest, unpopular opinion, Miami is the house that Brian Flores built. That 2-0 is Brian Flores. But, I mean, everybody just needs to chill out. But as far as anything else, I'm good.
My God, we appreciate you, man. We definitely got to get you back in here soon, man.
Always good seeing you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, once again, shout out to Eric Tyner, man. That's my guy, man. Right before we get off of football, man, as promised, we've been kind of tabulating our picks through the year so far, man. Started off week one, High Star jumped out to an early lead on top with a record of 10-6, and your boy fell to 7-9. But oh, what a difference a week makes. This week I went 11-5. High Star, what does your record look like this week, man?
I went 6-10.
Okay. So that brings me to 18-14 for the season, and you are at 16-16. So 500, you still can say you've been the whole season or spent the whole season at least at 500 or better. So
Eric said, it's week two.
But like, I was getting ready to say, much more football yet to be played, but I'm just going to flex them shoulders off a little bit more. Kind of get my mind right.
Fantasy was a little different story for you.
We're not talking about fantasy right now.
So that's why he's so amped, y'all.
Listen, we ain't talking about fantasy. We talking about that 11-5. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotta take your W's where you can, I guess.
Listen, and I'm going to take them here. Talking of, let's go ahead and get our picks for next week. Week 3 starts off with the Steelers at the Browns. Thursday Night Football. Who are you taking?
The Steelers and the bounce back win.
I'm actually going to go with the Browns in that game. It's going to be a good one, but I like the Browns. Next up, Bills at Dolphins in Miami.
Going with Buffalo. Josh Allen's my man.
I don't know why I'm getting ready to say this, but I'm going to say Miami's going to take that one and the Bills their first loss. It'll be a shootout, but I think the Dolphins will get that one. And then everybody's going to go nuts and overreact with them. Bengals at the Jets.
Cincinnati.
Okay. I am going to say Cincinnati also. Raiders at the Titans.
I'm going to go with the Raiders again. Brandon.
I'm going Titans, Ian. I think they're going to be upset and they're going to come back real mad in Nashville and take care of business. Saints at Panthers. And this one's in Bank of America.
No, I heard you say at Panthers. I got you.
Listen.
I'll be honest. I'll be Hedgie Murphy this week. I'm going to go with the Saints in case the Panthers win. I'm going with the Saints. I'm picking the Saints officially.
I'm picking the Panthers. I'm going down with the ship every week. I don't care what it is. I'm going to be loyal to my dogs. Ravens at at Patriots.
I think the Ravens will win.
Yeah, I'm going Ravens in that one too. Lions at Vikings. This is hard now. Now. Taking time with it now.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Minnesota in that one too. The winning streak stops at one. Eagles at Commanders.
It'll be a good game. I'm going to go with Philly though. I like what I've seen from them.
Yeah, me too. And now I'm picking Eagles, but it won't shock me if Washington somehow pulls one out. But I'm going Eagles. Chiefs at the Colts.
The Chiefs.
Chiefs. Yeah, me too. Texans at the Bears.
Chicago. I'm going to go with the Bears.
No, I'm going Texans in that one. Quiet as is kept. Their quarterback is out there trying to prove something. Jaguars at the Chargers.
I'm going to go with the L.A. team in that one. I haven't gotten an update on Justin Herbert's injury, but I do believe in the Chargers, though.
As do I. And I'm hesitant to pick it without him. But I think just traveling cross country in that one is much and as high as I've been on the Jaguars. I'm going to go Chargers in that one as well. Rams versus Cardinals.
I'm going to go with the defending champs, L.A. Go with the Rams on that one.
I'm going the other way. I'm going Cardinals. I think hosting the Rams are in a little bit more trouble than a lot of folks realize. Packers at the Buccaneers.
I'm going to pick the Buccaneers once again.
Yeah, I'm going Bucks in that one too. Falcons, Seahawks.
Let's go with the Seahawks.
Okay. I am going to go. Boy, Geno better not make me mad Sunday, man. Let's go Seahawks. 49ers at the Broncos.
Be another good game. I'm going to go with San Francisco on this one.
Yeah, the return of Jimmy G. We didn't mention it in talking about football earlier, but your man's Trey Lance had season-ending surgery on Tuesday of this week. So Monday, actually, right after the injury happened on Sunday. So shout out to bro, man. We wish him a speedy recovery, man. But I'm going with the fighting Jimmy Garoppolo's in that one too. 49ers. And then finally on Monday Night Football, the Cowboys and the Giants, the G-Men.
It's going to be an interesting game. I think the rushing attacks is going to determine the victor, and a lot of people are sleeping on Pollard this year and his impact. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
I'm going to either way around. Giants, it's in Meadowlands. They're going to win two in a row. And again, similar to the hype I was talking about earlier, people are going to go nuts and give them way too much. But I'm going Giants in that one. So we will definitely check and see what it looks like moving forward for these picks and for these teams as well. So next up, we're going to jump into a little bit of college football. Man, I had the opportunity, bro, on Thursday night to go back in the stadium, back in the booth, and you know, we talked about it and we were transparent last week. It didn't go quite as well as I anticipated in my debut with the Benedict College Tigers. But the wise poet Aaliyah once wrote, "If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again, try again." And I did that and I killed it. I had a much better performance, almost as good as the Tigers themselves, in a 24-6 win over the Savannah State Tigers, improving to 3-0. Now, you had a chance to check that game out on ESPN, man. What are your thoughts about the Benedict Tigers?
They looked the part. Definitely be able to kind of compete with some of these other HBCU programs and stuff like that. They showed up for national television, and shout out to Shannon Sharpe's Savannah State. What are the Tigers as well?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to Savannah State also, coming up there to Columbia, albeit in a loss. Performing on getting that shine and that exposure on national TV. I can't say enough about it. Salute to ESPNU and the higher ups at both Benedict and Savannah State for whoever made that, help to facilitate that and make that happen.
The atmosphere in the stadium was dope. It was a good game. Savannah State played hard the first half of the game. It seemed like it was going to be a little bit more of a struggle than what Benedict has experienced so far this season. But Coach Chinnis Perry got them boys coached up. I had a chance to talk with him. He's also our frat brother. But I got a chance to talk with him after the game. And we were talking about that, how just tough he's got those guys coached and the discipline that's there. It's his brand of football. And so it's in his second year, it's definitely a pleasure to see how he's got those guys coached up and how they're, you know, moving forward and moving the ball. Defensively, they're sound. They fly to the ball. Offensively, you know, I heard once that, you know, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But they've seemed to make it work. They're going still between the pocket passer and the more athletic quarterback in Phoenix. And, like, they're getting it in. And so I'm proud to be able to be a part of that. Proud to be calling their games and definitely excited to see where this team goes moving forward. And as we're talking about a little HBCU football, I want to go ahead and give you guys the top 10 according to the USA Today and NCAA rankings. Top 10 college football teams. Number one, Jackson State, fresh off their third consecutive win over a non-conference foe, the MEAC. North Carolina Central team is 3-0 and up to number two in the ranking. South Carolina State in a bye week falls to number three, previously number two. Alcorn State out of the SWAC is number four. Hampton is number five. Tennessee State is number six, although they are 0-3. Somebody tell me why. Prairie View A&M is number seven. Southern is number eight. FAM is number nine. And then rounding out the top 10 is Alabama State. We'll talk a little bit more next week into the HBCU realm with regards to football, with a lot of great matchups coming up in a couple of weeks. South Carolina will be taking on South Carolina State. South Carolina State will actually be facing the North Carolina A&T, who are the number 14 team, previously number 13. But a whole lot of good football left in the HBCU realm, and we'll dig into that a little bit more next week. But moving forward, we're going to jump into the segment, Big Deal, No Thing.
That's a big deal.
Nah, that ain't no thing. Y'all know the segment. We give you some headlines and tell you whether it's a big deal or no thing. First up in the NBA, PJ Dozier signs with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Big deal or no thing?
No thing.
Nah, that ain't no thing. I'm going to say it's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Why you say?
really don't have any reason, but I just was, yeah, going with no thing. I don't, you know, great move and stuff like that. I don't think it's a huge game changer or anything like that for Minnesota.
So here's why I say it's a big deal. Coming off of the ACL injury, when he was playing with Denver, he was really starting to elevate, get his minutes up. He was really starting to round into like a pretty decent 3-and-D type of player. Born and raised right here in Carolina, Gamecock kid. I love to see him succeed. And I think having that opportunity in Minnesota is going to be good for him popping back after that ACL injury. So I say it's a big deal. Next up, Dennis Schroeder signs a deal to come back to the Los Angeles Lakers. Big deal or no thing?
A big deal.
That's a big deal.
I'm torn.
Nah, that ain't no thing.
Why you say?
Well, I mean, along with saying big deal, I definitely wanted to also say big discount, because that's what the Lakers got him at.
That's a big also, discount.
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons I say that, of course, is because how cheap they got him for. And also, of course, throwing him in that little guard carousel they got going on with Pat Beverly and Russell Westbrook. It'll be interesting to see how they manage this situation.
You think he'll start?
No, but again, it'll be interesting to see how this whole situation gets managed. I'm very curious to see how it all works itself out.
Yeah, we definitely got him back on a deal. 1 year, $2.6 million, as opposed to the hundreds of millions we would have had to pay him had he signed a couple of years ago. For me, it was no deal, simply for the same reason you just said. I don't believe that he'll start. He will be a rotational guy. Will he be a good fit? We'll see, but I'm over it. Once you go to Boston, bro, you're dead to me, man. So, next up, the NFL to investigate the Bruce Arians footage after he apparently ordered Mike Evans to fight Marshawn Lattimore. Big deal or no thing?
No thing.
Nah, that ain't no thing.
That's a big deal.
I'm going the other way. Why you say?
Again, first shout out to Tom Brady for actually beating New Orleans for the first time, I guess.
You got that monkey off his back.
And then, but again, with this rivalry going on between this little beef going on between Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore, I saw the footage or whatever like that. It's you know, again, I think the consequences and the discipline has been taken care of with regards to that whole situation. I don't think it's anything as far as, you know, bountying or targeting and stuff like that. It is what it is. It reminds me of the Tlaib. I forgot which receiver Tlaib used to go at it with all the time. He yanked his chain every off time and stuff like that.
Crabtree.
Yeah, so reminds me of that. But yeah, I don't feel it's a big thing. A no thing. I don't feel like it's a big deal. I feel like it's no thing.
Gotcha. I say big deal simply because of the Bruce Arians aspect. He retired to give up the reins of coaching. Why are you still even out there, bro? Like, go sit down. Like, are you still coaching the team? You just got them boys in the headspace. But that's neither here nor there. That's why I say it's a big deal. Also because it could then have ramifications to the team. If he was truly found to have done this, they could suspend him and fine the team. And so it'll be interesting to see how what types of effects that it has on them moving forward. Next up, the Las Vegas Aces win their first ever WNBA championship. Big deal or no thing?
No big deal.
That's a big deal.
I agree.
That's a big deal.
First off, before we even get into it, we got to give a huge, huge, huge round of applause to the two-time WNBA regular season MVP, finals MVP, and now champion Asia Wilson. Some say the greatest athlete to ever come out of South Carolina, but why you say it's a big deal, bro?
I mean, a lot for what you just mentioned. Shout out to Asia, definitely. No, she's already been enshrined in Colombia with a statue, right?
Has, yes.
Again, with it being a new franchise, she really showed her value with bringing them to a championship. They, outside of her, they have actually a very, very solid team, a real good team. But again, with it being a new franchise out there in Vegas, I can remember when the Aces first started out there, everything. So it's just just a big deal for the city of Las Vegas again, with all the implications since they began allowing professional sports teams out there, for them to be the first champions. Because the hockey team didn't win.
No, but they made that miracle trip to the finals, but they weren't able to close it out. Yep.
Right. So it's the first Las Vegas team to actually win a championship. It's just a big deal for so many reasons. But shout out to Asia, definitely.
Yeah, first and chief among them for me, like I said, the Carolina kid, to have Asia Wilson to be as decorated as she is, to have won a national championship, to have won an Olympic gold medal, to have won multiple MVPs, and to now have a finals championship, a finals MVP and a championship ring, it's huge for her, and I'm really proud of what she's been able to accomplish. But then, like you said, Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, Derricka Henby, like they got a squad out there, and they deserve to do this to win this championship, and now to finally get that monkey off their back that they're a great regular season team, and they just can't ever do it in the finals. I love that they were able to get in the fashion that they did too, to be pretty much dominant all throughout. And so that coupled with the way that Asia turned up, like you could just tell that girl from Colombia, man. It was dope to see the energy, how she was just lit the entire time. And at the parade, I'm not sure if you had a chance to see it. And if you guys haven't, make sure you check it out. Asia Wilson, that's somebody you like to party with. Shout out to the K's, man. So yeah, big deal for me.
Yeah, her big brother is a DJ, so.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, DJ Puff. I'm trying to. I believe Puff went to State, if I'm not mistaken. But he's real good friends with Louis V. Okay. And that whole crew. But yeah. So shout out to. He might have went to USC, but either one of the two. But shout out to DJ Puff, or whatnot.
All right. Next up on Big Deal No Thing, the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury owner Robert Sarver suspended. Big deal or no thing?
Big deal.
Nope, that ain't it.
That's a big deal.
That's it. Yes, and I'm going to say it the same.
That's a big deal.
Why you say?
The reason that he was suspended for, but also the falling out of it, there's been a lot of
backlash.
Risk of losing sponsorships and actual money and stuff from this thing. So Phoenix is put in a very precarious position, whether they keep the initial suspension, which is, I believe, a year and $10 million fine, or they do something more severe, which I think they might be forced to, their hand might be forced to do with, again, with the risk of losing sponsorships, most notably PayPal.
Which is huge. For me, I say it's a big deal for much the same reason that you said. This is starting to feel real Donald Sterling-ish to me, where I wouldn't be surprised if he's forced to sell one or both of his franchises as a result of the things. There's a lot of steam that's being picked up with some animosity and some overall frustration amongst players in the league that they say, had it been them, the ramifications would have been so much worse. And so definitely a big deal. I don't believe we've heard the end of this story. That year very likely is going to end up being, yo, Sellers team. We'll holler at you. Next up, Adrian Peterson knocked out by Le'Veon Bell in an exhibition boxing match. Big deal or no thing?
I'll say big deal.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Why are you saying it's a big deal?
Yeah, just and everything in me, of course, leaning to it being no thing, and you know, especially it being an exhibition match and everything like that. But ultimately, just in similar fashion of Nate Robinson, players are taking a chance on their legacy being tarnished and stuff like that with things like this. I think it started off pretty much with like Floyd retiring and then doing his matches after him retiring and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, you're risking a lot by doing that. But then athletes getting into the game thinking, just because I'm athletic and
I used to fight back in the day
or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can do whatever. I don't know if it's a poor joke, but yeah, it would be a poor joke.
It's funny because I'm almost certain it's probably one close to what I was getting ready to say, because I saw some stuff on Twitter that had me crying, yeah, talking about the kid and
I was about to say it's involving children. But if you looked at or if you saw the knockout itself, he had his hands down, but also Le'Veon Bell looks like it's not his first time around a boxing ring at all.
Exactly.
And he kind of knows what he was doing. So just the combination of both made for beautiful poetry in that boxing ring where all day AP got caught. Put it like that. He got caught.
All day, I mean, he was asleep all day. But for me, it's a big deal for, of course, the knockout. Of course, all the jokes of, oh, he was getting retribution for the kids and all that. This thing, next thing. It was. But it should serve as a warning and as a cautionary tale for any other athlete that decides that they want to go the route of, hey, I want to go and get exhibition boxing. If fight nights in Orangeburg, South Carolina in 2006 didn't teach anybody anything else, anybody can get knocked out at any given time. Okay, when you're getting into these rings, you got to understand that athleticism will carry you but so far. Technique, skill, and experience will take you much further. They got to just start thinking about this and training it and taking it more seriously, or else they gonna get somebody gonna get hurt out there for real.
Swaggy P, they had to stop his fight. He was in another exhibition. He actually like physically got knocked out of the ring. Mm-hmm. And hit his head or whatnot. And so with him hitting his head, it was like a concussion protocol type deal, and they had to stop the fight.
See what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about right there. Y'all better stop getting in that ring ready to fight, thinking that thing, everything's sweet. You better go ahead on. Y'all better, like, what is it? E-fight. You better get on fight night and try to knock it out. But, yeah, no, it's a big deal because somebody's really going to get hurt if they don't take a little bit more care and be careful more so with it. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us for this week, man. It's a good show, man. I had fun with you guys. I want to give a special shout out to my guy, Eric Tyner, again, for joining us. Eric, you are welcome anytime, and we definitely can get you back on soon. As I mentioned, next week, we'll jump into a little bit more of the HBCU football. We'll have a little bit more of our NFL scores. And anything else you want to hear from us, hit us up on the Carolina Sports Talk line, cliff@carolinasportstalk.net, and we'll make sure that we get it on for you. Dog, anything you want to highlight to people before we go?
Yeah, shout out to two teams out there. App State, they had a nice Hail Mary win this past week. I believe it was against Troy. They're staying relevant, and they're doing it in entertaining fashion. And then also this team, I'm not a huge fan of their name. You introduced me kind of to them, the Savannah Bananas, shout out to them as well. They have a very interesting, a unique style of entertaining their fans, and it looks like a good time down there in Savannah at their games.
What's up, dog? You trying to get on, take a road show out to Savannah, man? Go peep a Savannah Bananas game?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
Say no more. Let's make it happen, man. Well, that's going to do it for us. Another episode of Carolina Sports Talk. We thank you for tuning in, as always, on your favorite podcast app. Next time, tell your smart speaker, play Carolina Sports Talk. You can hit us up on Facebook or Instagram at Carolina Sports Talk. Or to be a part of the show, email us at cliff@carolinasportstalk.net. Lastly, the Facebook page and the Facebook group, Carolina Sports Talk, talks back. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We look forward to talking with you next week. Peace.